Welcome to the Danzan Voice, the podcast of the Danzanru Jiu-Jitsu homepage, www.danzan.com. I'm your host, George Arrington. Esoteric Principles of Judo, Part 2. Context. In the late 1960s, America was sending men to land upon and explore the moon. These astronauts were primarily drawn from a corps of military test pilots. While most of them had engineering degrees, very few were trained as field geologists, a skill that would be essential when they were exploring the lunar surface. NASA enlisted the help of several teachers to get the astronauts up to speed in identifying and classifying the rocks, soil, and other features found on the moon. Principal among these teachers was Dr. Lee Silver, a geology professor from Caltech. One way that Professor Silver taught the astronauts was to take them out on field trips and learn the techniques and language of field geology, thus enabling them to succinctly communicate what they were finding over a quarter of a million miles away. Among the techniques that Professor Silver taught the astronauts was, when they found an unusual rock, describe it with regard to its surroundings. Find out what other rocks or geological features were nearby. In other words, put it in the proper context. In looking at the esoteric principles of Judo, it is vital to our complete understanding of this document to put it in the proper context. While we cannot place it in a particular geological strata, we can begin to see it more clearly when we ask several probing questions. First, what is the source of this material? Why was it included in the Okazaki scroll? What historical events influenced the inclusion of these writings? For this podcast, we will look at a couple of passages. The first is as follows. Since the fundamental principle acquired through the practice of Jiu-Jitsu has been elevated to a finer moral concept called Judo, the way of gentleness, it may well be said that the primary objective of practicing Judo is the perfection of character. Professor Okazaki included this passage in the second portion of his catalog scroll, or Mokuroku, entitled Judo Shugyo no Kokoroe, which translates as knowledge, or taking to heart of, the austere practice of Judo. In this section of the Mokuroku, Professor Okazaki delineates the ideals that one should embody as a practitioner and teacher of his jiu-jitsu system. He opens this section with the passage above, which was translated in my 1996 book, Mokuroku and Kaiden Sho, as follows. Judo is the fundamental truth learned and understood by the training of jiu-jitsu, and is converted to moral principles. And the purpose of the training of Judo is the cultivation of the perfection of character. In this passage, Professor Okazaki clearly expresses the fundamental Confucian ideal of perfection of character. The Confucian doctrine found here, although Chinese in origin, was integral in the Japanese education system. Indeed, this striving for perfection of one's character is found throughout Japanese culture, from religion, to business, to physical activities. It is also clear that this statement was influenced by Dr. Jigoro Kano's precepts for Kodokan Judo, specifically that which states, Jika no kansei, strive for perfection as a whole person. It is from this context that we see a strong influence from Kano's Judo, which in turn was very strongly influenced by the subject of the next portion of this discussion. The next two passages of the esoteric principles are as follows. And to perfect one's character, one must be grateful for the abundant blessings of heaven, earth, and nature, as well as for the great love of parents. One must realize his enormous debt to teachers and be ever mindful of his obligations to the general public. As a member of a family, one's first duty is to be filial to parents, to be helpful and harmonious with one's wife or husband, and to be affectionate to brothers and sisters, so that the family may be a sound, successful, and harmonious unit of the community. As in the previous section, these two passages are found in the austere practice of Judo section. When we look at the direct translation of the scroll that was given to Bud Estes in 1938, we see more of the answer. It literally reads as follows. Therefore, in order to perfect the personality, it is first necessary to learn and understand the imperial rescript given by Emperor Meiji. Quote, filial piety to the parents, friendship to the siblings, concord between husband and wife, trust between friends. It is necessary to be modest and respectful to others and to love mankind. This imperial teaching should be kept in mind. Respect the gods and Buddha. Additional correlation is found in the scroll given to Steve Bizek in 1941. The same section begins as follows and also adds, therefore, in order to perfect the personality, first of all, it is necessary to be grateful for the blessings given by heaven, earth, and nature. Think of the obligation to repay for the care given by parents and teachers, and at the same time, the obligation to repay for the care received from the general public. The context here is stated by Professor Okazaki. All school children were required to learn and even memorize the imperial rescript on education by the Emperor Meiji. Note, the term rescript used here is defined as an answer from an emperor or pope or some other high official on some difficult question, hence an edict or decree. Emperor Meiji, who reigned from 1866 to 1912, completed the Meiji Restoration of Japan in 1868. This began the modern era of Japan and ended nearly 700 years of the military rule, which included the feudal Tokugawa shogunate. Besides ending the era of the samurai, Emperor Meiji was keenly interested in the establishment of a national education system. His edict on education was also designed to promote morality in order to build modern Japan. The imperial rescript on education was issued to illustrate the moral principles that each citizen was to follow. Here it is in its entirety. Compare this to the passages found in the Esoteric Principles. The Imperial Rescript on Education of the Emperor Meiji. Know ye, our subjects, our imperial ancestors have founded our empire on a basis broad and everlasting, and have deeply and firmly implanted virtue. Our subjects, ever united in loyalty and filial piety, have from generation to generation illustrated the beauty thereof. This is the glory of the fundamental character of our empire, and herein also lies the source of our education. Ye, our subjects, be filial to your parents, affectionate to your brothers and sisters. As husbands and wives, be harmonious. As friends, true. Bear yourselves in modesty and moderation. Extend your benevolence to all. Pursue learning and cultivate arts, and thereby develop intellectual faculties and perfect moral powers. Furthermore, advance public good and promote common interests. Always respect the Constitution and observe the laws. Should emergency arise, offer yourselves courageously to the state, and thus guard and maintain the prosperity of our imperial throne, coeval with heaven and earth. So shall ye not only be our good and faithful subjects, but render illustrious the best traditions of your forefathers. The way here set forth is indeed the teaching bequeathed by our imperial ancestors, to be observed alike by their descendants and the subjects, infallible for all ages and true in all places. It is our wish to lay it to heart in all reverence, in common with you, our subjects, that we may thus attain to the same virtue. The 30th day of the 10th month of the 23rd year of Meiji, October 30th, 1890. In this document from Emperor Meiji, we also find the source for part of the following passage from the Esoteric Principles. As a member of a nation, one must be grateful for the protection which one derives as a citizen. One must guard against self-interest and foster a spirit of social service. One must be discreet in action, yet hold courage in high regard, and strive to cultivate manliness. One must be gentle, modest, polite, and resourceful, never eccentric, but striving always to practice moderation in all things. One must realize that these qualities constitute the secret of the practice of judo. We will continue with more of this passage in the next podcast. In summary, it appears clear that Professor Okazaki included statements in his exhortations that come from a fundamental part of his upbringing. Like all Japanese, the emperor was considered to be kami, or god. It is very reasonable, therefore, that the words of the emperor would be most appropriate for his students. Using this context, made for familiarity to his largely Japanese base of students, as well as his own intrinsic being. Further, we see the Confucian influence of self-perfection in his writings. We as modern Danzanru practitioners must remind ourselves that Professor Okazaki was Japanese, and that his culture was the basis of his writings. Some of these ideals are indeed universal in nature, but it should be well understood by Westerners that others are solely Japanese. If we are not Japanese, then some of these cannot apply. This is the context of these writings. In the next installment of this series, we will continue to look at these passages and also begin to explore some of the so-called noted verses. If you have any questions or comments regarding the Danzan Voice, you can send them to voice@danzan.com. You may also leave comments at iTunes. I'm George Arrington. Thank you for listening.